If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 this morning. Aren't you glad spring is here? Amen. Luke, chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse number 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask, O Lord, for your way in this message this morning. Lord, we ask that you'd speak to us. Lord, that our hearts would be open to thee, our minds, our thoughts, our attention would be given to thy word. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do the work that would bring honor and glory to you. Through Jesus Christ in each one of us. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The disciples have come to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 1. And they said to the Lord, as they had watched him, observed him praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, in his response, as he would endeavor to teach the disciples how to pray, he gives them 2 passages of Scripture, 2 discourses, if you will, on prayer that they were familiar with, that they had heard before. The first one is in verse number 2 down through verse number 4, and it's what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the Lord's instruction on how to pray, where he says, After this manner you pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then later on down in the passage, another very familiar passage of Scripture to us, and one that the disciples had heard on a previous occasion in verse number 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Ye see, in an earlier moment in time when the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry had gone up into a mountain, had called his disciples unto him, and he began to teach and he taught the multitudes on the subject of prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 6, and well, actually it begins in Matthew chapter 5, but in Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7, where these 2 very familiar portions of Scriptures that the disciples had already heard previously. As the Lord would instruct his disciples on prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, it's prefaced by these words. In verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 6, Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And as the Lord would begin to instruct on prayer, he's speaking regarding prayer as it would involve or relate to the lives of these disciples and the multitude, in their personal lives, in their physical lives, in their material lives. And he says, Your Heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. In fact, he goes on in Matthew chapter 6 to describe what he's speaking about. He says in verse number 25, Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or or your body what you shall put on. And then in chapter 6 and verse 33, a verse which we all are very familiar with. Every one of you that was married by Pastor Hunt knows this very well, because he would very much say this at your wedding. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then in chapter 7, when he says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Verse number 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Very important to understand that when Jesus Christ is speaking to the multitudes in this subject of prayer, as he's beginning to teach his disciples and teach the multitudes, he's instructing them and teaching them that their Father knows everything they need. And as they come and as they pray and as they ask and they seek and they knock, their Father will give them all things that they need in their life. But you see, when you come over to Luke chapter 11, it's very different. The instructions are the same, but the context is different. For here in Luke chapter 11, it's not about the disciples. It's not about their physical needs. It's not about, actually, it's not really about their needs at all. That's what we find in Luke chapter 11 in verse number 5 and verse number 6. It really is the context for this portion of Scripture that speaks about this matter of prayer, intense prayer, persevering prayer, if you will. But you see, it's a much different context, which brings about a much different promise. Not a different promise, but a promise in a different way, if you will, that God gives. You see, the context of Luke chapter 11 is not that I have a need. Oh, I do have a need, but that need is great because that need is related to the need of someone else. You see, in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 5, and he said, and which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And here's really where I want us to focus our attention this morning. For a friend of mine, not me, but a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. A friend of mine has come to me. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. You see, when this verse number 6 grabs our heart, it'll lead us to pray, like it says from verse 7 down to verse number 13. A friend of mine. You know, someone once said that yesterday you were a stranger, today you're a friend, right? That's a very familiar, and it ought to be with every one of us. Yesterday you were a stranger, today you're a friend. But a friend of mine, that's much more than just a business relationship or some other professional relationship. A friend of mine. But a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I want to speak to you this morning about a friend in need. A friend in need. You see, the first thing we have here is a reality. A reality that we need to really look at as we go through life. And so many times we just miss it. You know, it's like traveling down the road and something will be there, or something simple that you just miss. My wife came home from, I think, from Target the other day. She bought a new toothpaste holder. Now, you'd think, how can you miss that? I don't know, but I missed it. I missed it. I picked my tooth. I do brush my teeth. It's not that I don't brush, but I picked it up. But for some reason, it just went right by my eyes. But this is one we can't miss, folks. This is one we can't afford to miss. A friend of mine, in his journey, is come to me. And I have nothing to set before him. You see, the first thing is a reality. It's a reality of a friend of mine. But it says this. Here's a reality in his journey. In his journey. You know, the first thing about this reality is this, that when that word journey is used, it's speaking about an individual's life. And you know, the first thing we really need to understand and realize it, every journey is individually unique. There are no two people that are exactly the same. And there are no two journeys that are exactly the same. Just like snowflakes. Someone was mentioning snowflakes the other night. They say there's no snowflake that's ever the same. There is no two journeys in life that are ever exactly alike. Ever stop and think about it? Oh, they might intersect. They might have certain parts of the journey that we can understand because we've been through it or something like that. There might be a commonality in some aspects of it. But every journey is unique. Every life in this room is unique. A husband and a wife, they become one. But even as they become one, their journeys are unique as individuals. Because the husband is different from the wife. And we could take and go into great depth about that. But this friend of mine, his journey's unique. It's personal. Every person's life is personal, isn't it? Your journey, your path, my path. I was just thinking, as studying this, meditating on this, and really just allowing the Spirit to just roll it around in my heart. You know, God brings people into our lives. People that we've never known. Then God brings them into our lives, and they become friends. And this is what it's speaking about. I have a man that's a friend of mine, and he's my age, and his life is on just a totally different path right now. And he knows, and we've talked about it, his life is headed down the road of destruction. And he knows full well. And he wants to change. And he knows there's a narrow gate called the cross of Jesus Christ, which he must go through. And yet he's never entered in by the door yet. Every time I drive down the road, I think of him. I look for him. I pray for him. Because I don't want the day to come that I'll read about his name in a newspaper. Had a call the other day from a very successful businessman. He called me up and he had a business need. which I was able to meet, was able to help him out with. And yet I know that that was just the Lord leading to a greater need in this man's life. Had lunch with a young man the other day, a man 20 years old that once again the Lord has brought into my life as a friend, a young man that was born in Connecticut. And right after he was born, his father took him over to the western part of Africa and established him there so he would be raised by other relatives in a different culture, a different land, a different religion. And he was there for the majority of his life. And last couple of years, he came over to the United States and someone told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went home and he started reading the Bible. He started reading the New Testament. And he says, I came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because I read the gospel. And all of a sudden, the Lord has brought him to me. And now he says, will you teach me? And he came with a need. But each one of those individuals, and so many more, their lives are unique. Their journeys are unique. And it says a man, a friend of mine, in his journey, not only is the reality that every path is unique, every path is personal, but every journey is substantial. Because you're right in the middle of it. It's your journey. Someone else can pass by, just like the man that's on that road and the story of the Good Samaritan. At that point in his life, that was his journey. He's wounded on the side of the road. He's hurt on the side of the road, and he's right in the middle. That's his life. That is his life. And while others can pass by, doesn't pass by him, does it? While others pass by our lives, it's my life, it's your life, it's your journey, it's my journey. And the first thing we see here is there's a reality. But that reality takes a different turn now. Because that friend of mine, in his journey, has all of a sudden come to me. That friend in his journey, that man in my neighborhood, there's a lady that just recently has been brought into the life of my wife and I, and her struggles, or a businessman, or a young man, and others. While that journey, that reality is theirs, all of a sudden that reality has been brought to my life. And the same thing happens with you. God puts people in your lives, and all of a sudden their reality becomes part of your journey. For you see, this friend of mine, he's in his journey, but what does it say? Where did he come to? He says he came to you. He came to me. And all of a sudden, we're faced with a responsibility. A responsibility, folks. It's a great responsibility. A friend of mine in his journey is come to me. And now we have a responsibility. And I think there's three things here under this responsibility. First of all, we have to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge it. You know, this man could have easily just, he could have just had the lights off, closed the door and said, A friend of mine has come to me, but you know what? I'm just going to avoid it. I'm not going to face it. But that's not what God would have us to do. You see, these men came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. What was John's ministry? To point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes. And the first thing is when God brings people into our lives, in this case, we have to acknowledge that God is bringing us to a place of responsibility. Why? Well, simply because of that wonderful grace of Jesus that came to me. I need to be good stewards, a good steward of that wonderful grace. Amen? But acknowledge it. Just realize it. These individuals, these people, their journeys. God has brought them into my life for a reason, for their need. And then accept the responsibility. You know, it's easy to just say, well, I'll pray for you. Which this is what this passage is going to speak about. But it's accepting the responsibility that God has brought these individuals to you and to me. Not just to me, because God has different journeys for every one of us, different people that he brings into our lives. But more than just accepting the responsibility, attach yourself to the responsibility. You know, there's times when we have responsibility as individuals and we acknowledge responsibility, we even accept the responsibility, but then we either delegate it or we forget about it or we don't follow through on it. But attach yourself to it. And what I mean is a word that young people, a younger generation, which probably a much younger generation, I think Austin used this phrase the other way. Own it, right? Own it. I'm thinking, own it. Well, that's how you take responsibility, but attach your. You know, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. You see what I mean is, by attaching it, that this friend of mine in his journey has come to me and he has a need. That burden has to become my burden. And this burden is greater than a physical. What the Lord is teaching here is not a physical need that needs to be met. He's speaking about so much more. He's speaking about spiritual burden. Because there's times when people have a physical need that's met, or a physical need that is presented, and it's easy. Well, I, you know, here's a check, or here's something physical, material that you need, but that's not what the Lord is speaking about. He's speaking about spiritual needs, because that's the only way that the need of a life is really met. It's when it's met spiritually through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, attach yourself. You say, how do you attach yourself to that? Well, you let it become a part of your life. You know, we tend not to want things to be personal when it comes to meeting the spiritual need of someone else. But if we're going to pray, it must be personal. You see, when I see my friend that rides down the road and is lifeless on a road to destruction. I count him more than a friend. I think of him, I pray for him, as he's if my flesh and blood. As if it was my brother, my younger brother, or my older brother, or my sister, or my wife, or my family. And so there needs to be a responsibility. There is a responsibility. God gives us that responsibility. That's why we're here, folks. That's why we're here in this life. But then there's a realization, and this is the one that really ought to grip us. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. We have the Bible, we have the gospel, Yes, we do. But I have nothing to set before. It's not me. You see, what I believe this is bringing us to a place of is to realize that if the need of this individual is going to be met, then there needs to be an honest realization upon myself or within myself that it's not I that's going to meet the need of this person. I'm not going to meet that need. I can't bring forgiveness to anybody. I can't bring joy and peace to anybody. I can't change the direction of a man's life. I can't satisfy the longing soul. Within me, there's nothing. There's nothing. But beyond that, not only that, I can think that I have the answer that person needs. I can say, I have the exact Bible verse that person needs. And yet I have to approach it from this way. While I might be familiar with the scripture, I in myself do not know the exact Bible verse that person needs at that moment in time. I don't know the words that need to be spoken to them at this time. I sat down a couple of weeks ago with a large print Bible, and regard this one man that's really burden upon my heart. I sat down and I prayed and I went through and I highlighted a number of verses. I put post-it notes in there and a lot of verses that I could think of. And then I prayed and I went to his house and I knocked on the door and he came to the door. And other times he's opened the door and let me wide in and sat down and shared the struggles in his life and the burdens in his life. And he's called me up and said, I need you to come talk to me. I need help. I need change. I need direction. And this time I came and had a Bible, had all the scripture all marked and all thing, and came to the door and gave him the Bible. He simply said, thank you very much, and shut the door. You see, that moment in time, the Lord said, that's not the moment. In fact, the moment hasn't opened up since that time for right now. And it's humbling, folks. It's humbling because we know the truth that we have. But yet we have to face the fact that It's beyond me. It's beyond me. The need is greater, and it can't be met by myself. But that leads us, and I know that that was a long way to get to this. That brings us to the most helpful point, a realization. A friend of mine in his journey, his life, he's come to me. There's a responsibility. The realization, I have nothing to set before him. But understanding that leads me to the right place, doesn't it? Because what did the Lord Jesus Christ say in verse number 5? Which of you shall have a friend? Now this is not the friend in need. This is another friend. Which of you shall have a friend, and you shall go to him at midnight? Boy, that right there puts upon me the emphasis that the need is pressing. The time is pressing. But you'll say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. You notice that word friend is capitalized? Because you see, when my heart is overwhelmed with a burden for a friend of mine that has a need and he's come to me, I have to realize that I can't just go and meet that need in my own flesh, in my own strength, in my own person. But I can go to the one that will meet that need. And that's not only my friend. Oh, he is a friend, but he's more than a friend. He's my father. And this is what the Lord is speaking to his disciples about. He says, you can go to your friend. You can go to your friend at midnight. But when you go to your friend, understand this, you're going to more than your friend. You're going to your heavenly Father. The same one that in verse 2 and verse number 3 and verse number 4 that met the needs in your life is the same one that wants to meet the needs in this individual's life and wants to use you as a channel to meet the needs in that individual's life. But first, you have a need that needs to be met. You see, if we're going to be used of God to meet the needs in someone else's life, then we have a great need that needs to be met and answered by the Lord. And this is why the difference in Luke chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? But look at verse number 13 of this chapter. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit. To who? To them that ask. Who is asking? The man was asking his friend. He says, I've got a friend of mine that is in great need, and he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Therefore, my need is great. I want to help my friend. I want to be a blessing to my friend. But I know that that friend of mine, his need to be needs to be met through the Lord Jesus Christ, not by me. And yet he's come to me. And therefore, what I need, what you need, and what we need to be able to help others in their need is the Holy Spirit of God. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And the Lord is saying, you seek, you ask, you knock, you pray, you persist in prayer for this, for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit in your life, so that God, through His Spirit, can meet the need of someone else. For the Holy Spirit's the one that makes a difference. The Holy Spirit is the one that can make sure by His grace and His power. He's the one that can make sure that the words that come out of my mouth in that time when that person is in great need, that the words that come out of my mouth will be the words that the Holy Spirit wants to say. It's the Holy Spirit that can direct my steps. It's the Holy Spirit that can fill my heart with compassion for the individual. It's the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit, folks. And so the Lord speaks to His disciples and He says, you go to this friend and you say, I have a friend of mine in his journey. He's come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, for the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity you arise and give him as many as he needeth. And the Lord says, is it important to you? How important is it to you? How important is the life of a friend to you? And the Lord says, if you ask and you knock and you seek, or you ask and you seek and you knock, He says, your Heavenly Father, and I love the way it's put, how much more? You know, we sang that song, His grace is sufficient for even me. And your Heavenly Father says, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And your Father says, I'll give you much more of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know we're indwelt, but I need much more than just to be indwelt. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? And once again, this asking is for a direct need in my life, but more importantly, because it relates to the life of someone else. How much more? And you know, it all goes back to this one thing. It all goes back to seeing a great need. Need of a friend. And then realizing, you know what? Most important thing I can do is pray. Is pray. Pray for that person. Pray for myself. Pray, and just pray. Just pray. And pray. God will use you and God will use me to meet the needs and so many others. Could be a son or a daughter. Could be a spouse. Could be a relative. Could be a co-worker. Could be a neighbor. Could be someone you've never met, and all of a sudden the Lord brings them into your life. A friend of mine. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me. And I have nothing to set before him. But you know what? I have a Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father says, you come to me. You come to me. And I will give you what you need, which is the Holy Spirit, to minister and meet the needs of that friend of yours that's in great need. Let's pray.